Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, Emily here, and welcome back to another part in our series all about educating our children in the gospel. Last week, we heard from Melissa Kruger on private school. Next week, we'll be hearing from Jen Wilkin on public school. And this week, we are hearing from Irene Sun, sharing all about her family's decision to homeschool and how God leads individual families in unique ways to raise their children in the Lord. So we know that you will love this interview. Irene is a pastor's wife, a mom, and she is the author of the upcoming book, God Counts, Numbers in the Bible, available from New Growth Press in fall 2018. Irene studied Chinese literature and Christian liturgy at Yale, and she recently completed her Master's of Theology in the Old Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. She occasionally blogs on websites like the Gospel Coalition, and she keeps her own blog, waitinginthewaters.blogspot.com. So you can find her on Facebook. We will have all kinds of links in the show notes for you guys about how to get connected to Irene and her resources, and those are found at risenmotherhood.com. You can also find on our website links to the previous shows in this series, and definitely don't forget to come back next week to hear from Jen Wilkin. We are so excited to be doing this series. So we will jump into today's interview with myself, Laura, and Irene. Well, hi, Irene. Thank you so much for joining us today on Risen Motherhood.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are thrilled to have you on the show today to talk a little bit more about the choice for homeschooling. So can you just start off, though, and tell us a bit about yourself, your family makeup, and maybe just a very high level of what a day homeschooling your children looks like?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm Irene Sun. I am a pastor's wife. I was born and raised mostly in Malaysia, though for some years my parents were missionaries in Tahiti and Indonesia. So I just kind of grew up all over the place with a lot of moving around. My husband and I, Hans, we have 5 children. 4 boys are with us. They are 9, 7, 5. And by the grace of God, we will have a newborn in a few weeks. And we,
yay!
Yeah, so exciting. I get to nurse again after 5 years.
Aww.
And we lost a baby last year during pregnancy. So I try to always acknowledge the life of that baby, even though we don't know him or her as well. So a typical day for a homeschooler, I think I usually look at my schedule in weekly terms. So, for example, our weeks would begin with our community days. We are part of a community called called Classical Conversation. I don't know whether you guys have heard of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Monday is our community day. And so for those who has not heard of Classical Conversation, we are a group of Christian families. Usually each community is about 40 to 50 children. Some are smaller communities, but we come from different denominations, ethnicities. But despite all these differences, we are a Christ-centered community, and our desire is to know God and make Him known. So that's our Monday. Tuesday is my errands and grocery days. So I take all of the boys shopping with me.
Wow.
So I kind of piled them on to those Costco carts.
Yes.
I mean, no, they walk now, but I remember those days when we had babies, and that was a little bit more complicated.
But the snacks at Costco, I mean, you just can't beat the snacks.
That's true. And so, samples are always nice, but I think that's part of their education because they know now that if ice cream is on sale, we're not buying ice cream.
Yeah.
So Wednesdays are usually our field trip days. So our community sometimes would have field trips, as well as we have membership to the Botanic Garden. So that's our Wednesday. Thursday and Fridays are usually our indoor days. So we're either at home or at the library. And then every day, the boys will have to do a little bit of handwriting and math. I spread them out throughout the week so that, you know, it's not so overwhelming for one or two days of the week. Yeah, so that's kind of like how overview of our week.
Well, wonderful. Yeah. It definitely sounds like you guys are doing a lot of different things, and you're in and out of the house, and there's a lot of fun flexibility and activities that you guys are doing. It's so neat to get the snapshot of what it looks like, especially Emily and I are both sort of on this precipice of trying to make some decisions about schooling choices for our own children down the road as our kids are nearing that age. So can you walk us through a bit why we as Christian parents have freedom in Christ in our educational choices? Is there maybe a better choice for a Christian family? And can you talk us through that answer?
I think that the process of making decisions is not that different in terms of, and then other decisions in our lives. So like, for example, when we were deciding whether or not we're going to breastfeed, and, you know, there are just so many different choices that we're making for our children. But it comforted me that my children are broken the way that I'm broken, and that they need Jesus to save them from their sin and their brokenness, just as Jesus saved me from my sin and my brokenness. And I think that should give all of us an immense freedom to think and pray and to discern what is the most wise decisions for our family, because we are not their savior, and we are not their sovereign Lord who holds their future in our hands. And so I think that takes a lot of pressure off us to know that their eternal well-being is in God's hands, and that the Lord has already purchased their freedom as well as my freedom on the cross to break the power of sin. And so, and there's also much freedom, I think, for the Christian in knowing that we are saved by grace through faith, and that we have nothing to prove to ourselves or to the world. And that is so important, right? Like, just even when the boys were babies, I mean, it's just, I have to constantly tell myself, I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove, because our identity is rooted in the Lord. And the Lord does not require for us to succeed, but simply to obey. And I think that's really hard for us, because we are so prone to compare ourselves to other people. And I think another freedom that we have in Christ is that we are free to call out to God to help us. And he has promised to help us when we put ourselves in the way of grace. And so no matter what, no matter what options we have to educate our children, or no matter what options we eventually choose, we know that we can cry out to God for help, because we need a lot of help. So that's the first part of your question.
Irene, just to summarize, because I think you covered like a ton of great stuff there. It's just that reality that we are not our children's savior. And so there is no formula that we follow that if we just do this, then we can make our children right. If we just teach them the right way or whatever it is, it's that is only something that Christ can do for them. And I love how you said also we have nothing to prove. And that is because our identity is fully rooted in Christ, and he did every proving. Everything that needed to be justified was justified through him, and we have this full righteousness. And so there is no, oh, if I just school our children this certain way, I'm going to be more accepted by God and by others. That's just not true. We're as fully accepted as we can be in Christ. Yeah. And then the last piece that you shared there just slipped my mind. It's just that ability that because we're in Christ, we now have his help. You know, we can have access to God who has every resource available to him. And so he is going to help us, you know, fulfill the good works that he prepared for us beforehand. And so we can be confident in that. So I just was like, oh, I want us to grasp what you said. It's so good.
Yeah. I think especially that last thing as the load and the hardness of parenting increases, I just find myself even asking for God to help me with the dishes. And he is faithful. Like, he helps us even with these little tasks that we think are so insignificant, but the Lord is magnified when our weaknesses are magnified, because the more faithless and weak and feeble we are, the more steadfast and strong and faithful he is. And so so cry out to God for help, and he is faithful to provide it.
I think that plays very well into kind of my next question here. What advice do you have for a mom or dad to really thoughtfully, prayerfully, as we're saying here, crying out to God and just asking him for wisdom? What advice would you have as they work through determining the various education options? And I think that that's just a struggle that every mom and dad is kind of going through, especially at the beginning of stages of sending their kids to school. But also, I know a lot of families kind of reevaluate their decisions pretty frequently as their kids are growing. Yes. So what thoughts do you have there?
I think I will answer this question along with your question about whether or not there's a better option, because I think they actually work really well together. I think that as we are thinking and praying through our children's education, I think the first thing to know is that we are all called to be homeschoolers. And the reason I say that is because we all teach our children at home. It's just like a very general way. Because, like, for example, in when I talk to my friends and sisters about how to teach theology to our kids, I say often that we are the visible faces of our invisible God. And so our children know who a mother is, who a father is. They know the face of our Heavenly Father through the faces of their earthly parent. And so from the moment that we hold that newborn in our arms, we are, in a sense, educating our children, because we are teaching them, we're displaying to them what love looks like and what grace looks like and what faith and hope looks like. And so I'm not saying that every parent should formally educate their children at home, but I would say that every parent is a homeschooler in that sense. We are all teaching our children all the time, the way that Deuteronomy 6 has commanded us to do. And then so moving into how we, Hans and I, decided to work through the various education options, I think I was very helped by his vision for our family, because Hans is 15 years older than me. So he started through, like, when we were first married, he had a very clear purpose and direction for our family. And I really benefited from his leadership. So after we, you know, determine what commandments are given to us, then which method of education then should we invest in? And I think that every family are given different desires. Every family is given different provision. So some families has more and some families have less. And every parent has also been given different abilities. So just to summarize, the three things that are helpful to think about is, like, what is our desire or our calling? What is the provision God has given to us? And then what is the ability that God has given to us? And if we lack in any of these areas, so for example, for us, it was a provision thing. You know, we don't have, we know that we will not have an income. So Christian school, private Christian school is definitely not an option. And so for me teaching at a Christian school, you know, to be near my children is not an option because I was a student. So we really needed to cry out to God for provision. So in terms of whether or not there's a better option, I think it's just to look at our circumstances and discern and pray and ask God to give us a fear of the Lord, you know, and to really look at our hearts and to be honest with ourselves.
What I really like that you're saying, Irene, is everything goes back to the heart. And it's something we talk a lot about on Risen Motherhood, is that on the outside, two people can make the same choice, but on the inside, they can be doing it for different reasons. And one person can be desiring to obey and honor the Lord, and the other person can be trying to prove herself or trying to make herself more righteous before others, or there can be lots of sinful motivations there. And so what I think I'm gathering from what you're saying is that it's important for us to look at our heart and acknowledge our limitations of our circumstances and to be humble before the Lord and know that we are not God. We may not have all the things. We may not be able to do our preferred method or what we think would be the ideal, but we can do what God has asked us to do through Christ, and He's going to equip us for that. And that's good. And it's also good to have faith that if He calls us to something that's hard, whether because we think we don't have the energy to do it, or it's hard because it's different than what we had hoped for, we have to have faith and do the hard thing that we feel like we can't do. Yes. And so I think that gets at the root of what's going on and who we're worshiping.
I love what you said about the Lord is always looking at our hearts, because, you know, he knows whether or not we're obeying. He sees our action, but He also knows what is motivating us to do what we do. So yeah, thank you. That was really helpful.
Yeah. So Irene, is there ever a time where you have second guessed your decision, or something that kind of Emily was hitting on and you were hitting on, is that we can feel this guilt and anxiety over decisions that we make. And even after we've made them, you know, it can sort of be this waffling back and forth thing that we do. And so I'm curious if that's ever happened for you, and then what gives you freedom from feeling those things in your decision?
Yeah, I think in terms of the second guessing our decision, I don't think we ever second guessed the decision to homeschool, because that was quite clear from the beginning in terms of evaluating our desires, provision, and the ability of our family. But I know I am very, very prone to feeling guilty and anxious about many things in everyday circumstances. You know, like, is my children doing enough math? Is my
children
doing enough handwriting? Like, I have no idea. I have never learned Latin. So there are a lot of anxiety and guilt that goes on in my heart throughout the day. I think the way that frees me is it goes back to the freedom that we have in Christ, which is that I have nothing to prove. So when I know that it was a bad day of homeschooling, I think the way I combat it is by asking them for forgiveness and tell them that mommy has not done a good job today, but then the Lord is giving us tomorrow, and by His grace, hopefully we can try to be more obedient tomorrow. And so I think that definitely frees me, because it not only demonstrate repentance for my children, which is something really hard, especially I think me coming from a Chinese culture to do, because often we are, you know, in Chinese culture, parents do not apologize to their children. So I'm learning to do that, and learning that His grace is new every morning and His mercy is abundant to all of us. So that frees me from guilt and anxiety.
What I love that you just revealed there is, I'm just going to go out a limb there and say, sometimes I think, like, once we get through the decision about how we're going to school our kids, like, mm-hmm. everything, I'm going to stop second guessing my whole world. Yes. And I'm going to be done with anxieties about, are we doing the right thing? Are we not doing the right thing? Are we doing yes. too much activities? Are we doing not enough? Whatever yes. those different things are. And I think that's kind of just a lie. Like, we all, every parent, even those who seem most confident in their decision in terms of how they're educating, everyone yes. is still wondering, like you said, well, did we do enough math? Am I doing exactly the right method of, you know, teaching them handwriting or whatever those things are? And so there is no, oh, you arrive and then you're done evaluating and you're done repenting and you're done crying out to the Lord for this. Yeah. It's just exactly. a good reminder to me and maybe other moms out there who are feeling like, oh, if I can just get this figured out, it's going to be okay. And it's like, yes, it is. But this is a heart problem that we all struggle with. And that's yes. something we can all run to the Lord with.
Yes. And again, like, it also frees me to know that He requires obedience and not success. That is the goal. He just wants to see us obeying, and repentance is a huge part of obeying, and crying out for help is a huge part of obedience. And so sometimes I feel like when I have a bad day, it's just God teaching me to cry out to Him and to depend on Him and not myself.
Yeah. And what I love too about what you're saying here is it's like all of these truths are universal for moms. Like, no matter how you choose to educate your children, we're mm-hmm. all struggling, as Emily was saying too, just the guilt and anxiety. And we're all feeling these same things. And there isn't this, if you pick this option, you know, you'll avoid all of those hard feelings. But instead, you know, we're all day by day coming to the cross. As you said, Irene, we're repenting and we're just called to obey, and we don't have to have success or know the end, like, and how our kids will turn out, but we're trusting day by day in this decision that the Lord has led us in, that this is the right thing for our family and the way that God has led us to educate our children. And we just need to be faithful in knowing that.
Yes.
And I think too, Irene, in light of time, I'm going to move us forward a little faster here, but one piece of the homeschool puzzle that I know a lot of moms have questions about, something I have a question about, I'm sure Emily as well, we've talked about this and we have questions, but just in terms of some of the, maybe the potential weaknesses of homeschooling, one that I hear frequently is just kind of lack of exposure to diversity. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if you can just speak to that point quickly, just for any mom who might be considering this path, of how do you guys combat some of that when you're doing this type of education?
Yeah, so we combat that very intentionally by being part of the community, by part of being the classical conversation. So it's a dedicated group of parents who are loving one another's children. And we come from all different ethnicity, and I said financial background. And I think no matter which formal education option we choose, we have to just be very deliberate that we are loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so if for parents who are not plugged into community, we also have our church community that is so crucial in the homeschooler's life. And so I think between field trips and grocery stores, I mean, my children knows all the librarians, they know all the sample people at Costco, their community, just because, you know, these are the faces that they see every single day throughout the week. I mean, every week. So, So I think that's one of the potential weakness. And I think another potential weakness of homeschooling is that my desire is to turn my children into me. And I think the fear that we have is that we don't want them to just behold us and not behold God. And I am prone to wander, and I am not their savior. And so Amy Carmichael has a poem, and it's really simple, and it's one that I've memorized by heart. But the way she prays is, love through me, love of God, make me like thy clear air, that thou may pour thy colors through as though it were not there. And so I just pray and pray and pray, Lord, just love through me, love of God, and make me like thy clear air so that my children, they would not see me, but they would see the Lord. And I am not the person that they're beholding all day, every day, but they're learning to behold God, and they're learning to love God and worship God, and that I am just clear air, that I am just the instrument through which God's glory can shine, and that God's beauty and goodness and truth can be brought to my children.
Yeah. And what you're describing is something that we're all tasked with, right? Which is imitating, yes, God to our children and teaching them to behold him the, yes, best we can, knowing that ultimately, obviously, that's a work of the Spirit, but
yes,
we can be intentional in that. We can acknowledge the strengths and weaknesses of whatever, you know, educational path that we take, and then work to say, okay, what things might we need to do differently or fill in the gaps of, because we want our children to know God and understand the way he created the world and what the gospel has to do with that. So yeah, thanks for sharing how you guys are just being intentional with those things.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you putting in that part about prayer earlier too, of just everything you're saying about beholding the Lord, like those things only come about by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is just something that should drive all of us as moms and parents to our knees to just be praying that God would meet us where we're at. We know that he will. He is sufficient, and he is faithful to those that call out to him. And so no matter where a mom listening is at on this journey of determining her education choices, I am sure that this interview and this talk, I am hopeful that it will just bless her and just remind her of her true purpose and what we're all called. I love that you said we're all homeschoolers. You know, we are
yeah,
all called
so
to educate our children in the home day by day about the things of the Lord. And so, Irene, I just want to say thank you so much for being on our show. We really appreciate you taking time to just share about your experience and where God has taken you and taught you through homeschooling.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. This has been such a pleasure to think through and to share my own mistakes and my own fears and anxieties with all these people.
Yeah.
We do it every week. We know how you feel.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Irene.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Risen Motherhood podcast. We encourage you to check out our webpage, risenmotherhood.com/education. And on that page, we've made it easy to find all our resources on this topic with links to interviews and the education questionnaire, plus tons of additional articles and tools that we've found helpful for our families as we navigate this topic. And of course, we'd love it if you came and found us on social media where you can keep up with the ministry of Risen Motherhood. You'll find us at Risen Motherhood on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for joining us.